Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
A beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you. If you're waking up about 900 years ago, well before the Parker Dam, and the Havasu Basin, you'd most likely be among the most warlike tribe of the Colorado River tribes, the Mojave Indians, who expelled the Maricopa tribe, pushing them inland. But then turned around and gave it right to the Chimiwavy people who moved in around 1800, and now the name of that entire valley, the Chimiwavy. Now, we don't hear that name a lot because that's all the California side, and everything on Arizona side's Havasu.
I have to say I've never heard that term.
That was the first time, and a little bit later we're going to have the director of the Nautical Spa and Resort, and he's going to help us with the correct pronunciation.
Okay.
That led me to an interesting 7 o'clock hour. We need to find somebody that can pronounce all the correct landmarks that have an Indian name and what their meanings are. How interesting would that be?
Well, let's just get Marshall Trimble in here with his book, Roadside Names of Places of Arizona.
He knows all that?
Yeah, he wrote a book about it. I don't know if he remembers it, but...
Lake Havasu City sits in Mojave County, the largest county in Arizona, fifth largest in the country, 13,000 square miles. It's one of four original counties created by the Arizona Territorial Legislative Assembly long before statehood.
I never knew that. I would have bet money that Coconino was the biggest county in Arizona.
They're right behind. I mean, it's I think, less than 1,000 square miles difference. Huh. It's pretty close. It's considered the reddest county in Arizona. The last time it went to a Democratic presidential nominate candidate was LBJ in 1964. And think about that. Who was LBJ's Republican opponent?
Goldwater, wasn't it?
Goldwater.
Yeah. Oops.
So the only time it goes blue is when there's a Republican from Arizona. But you know how those rural boys are. They never have much mind for big city hotshots. I guess they just thought Texas guy would be better. I don't know. But there's only 152 votes that went to LBJ. There's 45 ghost towns in the county of Mojave. And you know you've entered Mojave on your way to Vegas when you see the town of nothing. That starts Mojave County, and you're in it all the way to the Nevada state line.
Well, that's when it'll go blue again, is when they start counting those votes. When the ballot boxes at the ghost towns open up again.
Reminds me of the dead rolls in Louisiana, all those dead people that voted.
Yes.
It's been known to happen. Lake Havasu City is one of those towns in Arizona that if you never get off the main freeway, State Route 95, you never really get to see the town. Just off the corner of it on London Bridge Road, you get the Lake Havasu Museum of History that's open on Saturdays during the summer till 2 o'clock. It's a featured city of our Arizona staycation. Our winners actually just got back from a trip there. They went during the week. So we'll have them on next week, a little bit of preview about their stay there. And one of the things, you can sign up for your Arizona staycation at rosieonthehouse.com/travelAZ. We just picked next week's winner, so now we're drawing for August?
Yes, right? That's Cottonwood.
Cottonwood.
Oh, nice.
Well, despite our efforts of Keep Cross on the Couch campaign, something that we started when we had Jim on April 13th, Keep Cross on the House, or Keep Cross on the Couch, he is Arizona's fire reporter. He's actually been quite busy. Sadly, the human-caused fire of the Woodbury is now the seventh largest fire in the state history, up to 80,000 acres today.
Gosh.
Bruce Hafner posted a heart-wrenching picture of it from the air.
Speaking of resurrecting the ghost towns of Mojave County, I'd like to resurrect the lynch squads. And anybody's campfire that burns 80,000 acres of my state should be lynched. And I'm a peace-loving man. But that really chaps my behind.
And I don't know what the consequences for that are, but if that's 80,000, listen to what happened to the 16-year-old boy from Glendale who pleaded guilty to starting 3 fires in the Black Mesa Ranger District in the White Mountains. Together, they burned about 12 acres, so not big. $75,000 he was ordered to pay.
I wonder what happened to the 2 kids out of Tucson that started the Wallow Fire, or the woman that started the Cheddesky Fire.
I think they let her off.
And how about the firefighter that started the Rodeo Fire?
I think he went to prison.
We also had some kids that were playing with fireworks up here in Phoenix that started a fire on the side of the mountain. They got caught pretty quick, though.
Well, and then the Happy Jack Fire last year was started by a campfire for a couple people down in the canyon. When it was closed to camping and closed to fires. And they burned, what, 60 homes?
Oh,
gosh.
So pay attention while you're out there. Coconino firefighters had an interesting challenge and used drones to solve it. There was a fire that was around a World War II era military training that still had live artillery. So they couldn't go in there to back set fire because it's restricted. So they used drones to drop ping pong size explosives to start the backfire.
Wow. Man, oh man.
Use of modern technology. And this week there was a big, the National Homeland Security Convention was in Phoenix this week at the convention center. And Phoenix firefighters were most eager to show off their brand new radios. These new high.
They're interagency, aren't they?
They are. So then they can hear and monitor the police so they know it's as fast as they can get in there to do their Medicare. So, and on today's radio program, we actually have a special guest that was lined up by a mutual friend of our guest and Rosie. His name's John Smack. And he kind of, after the accident, he kind of took over your Save the World Committee as point man and kept everyone. And when we realized this may not be a 2 or 3 week thing, it may be a 2 or 3 week month, he said, Romy, what can I do to help? And I said, you know, the 7 o'clock hour, it's new to Rosie on the House. We've only been doing it 4 or 5 years, and we could never decide what to do with it. And Rosie really liked that because it just fed to his impulse of the week.
That's right.
And I said, and I don't have time to sit around and think about what we're going to fill that hour with. So feed me some guest ideas. And he said, well, look, I heard y'all talking about cotton the other week on your Farm Fresh broadcast. I've got someone that knows more about cotton in Arizona if you want to have that interview and just what cotton has done to develop the state. His name is Jesse Curley, and he's sitting here with us this morning. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here this morning.
So what? Talk to me about cotton in Arizona.
Well, cotton, and you know, it's one of the 5 C's, and it's a big part of the history of Arizona, and has played a big part in the economic development of Arizona over the years. Truthfully, it's not as big a crop as it used to be. I mean, when I moved here in the late 70s, there was around, 800,000 acres of cotton in Arizona at that time. Today, we're down to about 250,000 acres. So it's not what it was. Whether it'll come back, that's another story. But it's all economics and the water situation in Arizona and a lot of these things. But
well, what brought cotton to Arizona to begin with?
Well, regular upland cotton, which is the majority of cotton grown in the world in the United States, was grown here in probably in the 1880s started growing. But my specialty was Pima cotton, and Arizona has a reputation, and people think of Arizona, they think of Pima cotton, and it was really started here in Arizona, and it's the best quality of cotton in the world. It's renowned for its length of the fibers and the strength, and that was really brought here by the Goodyear Tire Company. Mr. Litchfield out at Litchfield Park, and they came here in 1916 to start growing Pima cotton. And that's a very interesting story, I think, of how that developed and why it developed.
Well, we never have enough time, but can you give me like a 3-minute preview of that till the next commercial break?
back in those days and for a long time, car tires and truck tires were made with, the, you know, was rubber around cotton. Today it's steel or whatever they use. They don't use cotton, I don't think, in tires anymore. But in those days, cotton was a very, very important ingredient. And about, I think I heard, like 5 pounds of cotton were in each tire. And they needed a very strong cotton. They were using Egyptian cotton at the time, mainly, because it was a long staple, very strong cotton. World War I came along, and they needed, they had a restriction on the Egyptian cotton coming into the United States. So they needed more of the Pima cotton, and there was very little grown in Arizona at that time. So Goodyear sent Mr. Litchfield out to, he was a young engineer with Goodyear, sent him out to Arizona in 1916 to try to get people to grow more Pima cotton. Basically, he wasn't very successful in getting it done, so they decided that we'll have to do it ourselves. So Mr. Litchfield had the responsibility of, I think he bought 24,000 acres in 1916 out here around Litchfield Park and some of it around Chandler, Dr. Chandler's farm. And they started growing Pima cotton. They set up two big communities. They built 16 gins. They hired a tremendous amount of people, basically set up two communities and started growing Pima cotton for the war effort, too. So they had their raw material for their tires.
And it was for the tires. It's, you think cotton so much today, it's our fabric, it's our clothing, but it wasn't what it was being used for then. It was for tires.
That's what Goodyear. Now, they were using Pima cotton for apparel and other things, too, at that time. But the Goodyear was mainly for tires. And so it started an industry out here that developed, and of course Arizona became the largest state and basically the only state growing Pima cotton for a long time.